Turn back to Psalm 121. I titled this message, Pilgrim's Helper and Keeper, Part 2. Last week was Pilgrim's Distress as he was starting his journey. I thought about this today as I was looking, well, I've been looking at this psalm for a few days. And I thought about naming all these 15 songs of degrees, pilgrims, whatever, in part 2, 3, 4, 5, because it's all about his progress, his ascent to the hill of the Lord to worship the Lord. You see, pilgrim starts out his journey in Psalm 120 from Meshech and Kedar to. And he's headed to Jerusalem, the promised land. He's away from the promised land. Remember, I told you last week that three times a year, the males were to make three trips to Jerusalem up to worship. And on their way, they would sing, it is said, they would sing these songs of degrees, as they ascended up to Jerusalem. And as Pilgrim here, as he begins his journey, and this every believer, this fits everyone who believes God. Everyone who believes God's a pilgrim. You know that? We're pilgrims. That's all we are. Here we have no continuing city. We have no continuing place. You know, this night could be the end of one of our journeys. Could very easily be the end of a journey for one of us, pilgrim, and go home. The journey could be over. But until that journey is over, we realize our help, our need of help in this journey, in this pilgrimage, don't we? I need the Lord to help me to keep my mind on Him. I need the Lord to help me to think upon Him. Set your heart, your mind, as it says in Colossians 3, on things above. Set your heart there. I need the Lord to help me do that. And every believer realizes their need of the Lord's help as they journey their way home. As they seek to worship God in spirit and in truth. I need the Lord's help tonight, don't you? I need the Lord's help. Keep my mind on the subject. Keep my mind on the reason, the purpose. I'm here and you are here is to worship the Lord, not let myself be distracted by anything. By anything. I came here to worship. I came to worship. And that's what I want to do. I want to worship the Lord. I want you to worship the Lord. I want us to worship the Lord tonight. And here we have the opportunity. And Satan is so subtle, he'll just take the least little thing and arrest your attention and just take it away. Something trivial. It means nothing. It means nothing. So I need the Lord's help and you need the Lord's help tonight. This is part of the journey home. Tonight is just a part of that journey, that pilgrimage that we're making home. I love studying this. I became a pilgrim this week. All over again, I became a pilgrim, traveling home. The wayfaring man, just traveling home. That's me, and that's you. Now, this is a second song of degrees. The first one started in distress. You can look back there in Psalm 120. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. He said, deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongue. And he goes on down there and he said, I'm for peace and they are for war. This is where I live. This is the world you and I live in. We live in an ungodly world. Now, this is the truth. We live in a world that hates God. Now, you can walk down the street and you can ask anybody, do you hate God? They're going to say, no, I don't hate God. Christ said, he that's not for me is against me. He's against me. The scripture says that that the natural mind, that's the mind you and I are born with before God saved us, the natural mind is enmity. You know that word enmity means hostile? The natural mind is hostile toward God. The natural mind is not hostile toward the God of our imaginations, as we think he is, or as we want him to be. But when you take the God of this Bible and put him on the throne, I don't like using that word, but preach him on the throne. That's the better way to say it. To preach him on the throne as the sovereign. It's God's world. He created it. It's his. That brings out that natural hostility. It's in every mind. It was in mine. It was in yours at one time. Before the Lord made us willing in the day of his power. God had to make us willing. He had to make us willing to be saved. He had to save us in order for us to want to be saved. He had to do that. But notice here in verse 1, Pilgrim makes a holy resolve for his journey. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. The hills, I believe he's speaking here, of the promised land, the hill of the Lord. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? It says in the Psalm. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, the promised land, the hill of Zion? From whence cometh my help? You see, in Psalm 120, Pilgrim was looking, he was looking all around him and distressed. And if that's all you do, it will distress you. If all you do is look horizontal, it'll be distressing. And Pilgrim was looking around him, but now he looks up away from his trouble to his help. You know, I've had this habit since I was a child. I consciously try to break this habit. I walk looking down all the time. I walk like this all the time. I'm walking like that. I'm short enough without holding my head down. You'd think I'd keep my head up. But I try to make a conscious effort to walk with my head up. And I have to make a conscious effort to do it. I'm so used to walking looking down. But that's us by nature. We're either looking horizontal or looking down. And he tells us here, look up. Look up. Look up. Now we know that he's not talking about just natural hills here. Listen to Jeremiah 3:23. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. That's our salvation. This is a metaphor. He's speaking here in spiritual language. He's talking here about on his ascent to Mount Zion, where the Lord dwelt at the temple, where his sacrifice was, the blood and the priesthood and all that represented Christ is there. It's spiritual language. What he's doing here, he's looking unto the Lord. When Daniel prayed 3 times a day, he went to the window and he prayed toward Jerusalem. He wasn't just praying toward Jerusalem as Jerusalem. It's the city of the great king. He was praying to God. That's who he's praying to. He says here, I will look up. How many times is it written concerning our Lord? He lifted up his eyes. Our Lord lifted up his eyes as a man constantly and prayed. But I look up. You see, listen, Spurgeon has a sermon. There's life in a look at the crucified one. There's life in it. Isaiah 45:22. Listen. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. Look. There's life in a look. Isaiah 40:26. Lift up your eyes on high. And behold, who hath created these things that bring out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power. Look to me, he says. He has the power to save. Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. He's the Savior. Pilgrim here, or I can say David, but pilgrim here is resolved to look unto Jehovah. You see that capital L-O-R-D? That's Jehovah. That's the self-existing one. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who that is. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who he's talking about. And so he's resolved to look to Jehovah who dwelleth in Mount Zion, or rather in the highest heaven. We sing a song, and we're going to sing it closing. My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary. From the mire and the clay, from sin and sorrow, pilgrim looks up away from these things and into heaven itself. He looks to the Lord. He looks to Jehovah. That's who he's looking to. Our Lord said this in Luke 21, 28, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Look up. I'll lift up my eyes. From whence cometh my help? Depending on where your help comes from determines the strength of your help, doesn't it? And then he answers this in verse 2. He gives us the answer. And here's pilgrim's confidence. And this is every believer's confidence. My help cometh. Arrives. It's coming. It cometh continually from the Lord, Jehovah Jesus, which made heaven and earth. My help starts with the Lord Jesus Christ. My help is in him. He's my helper. The Lord is my help. His power is used for my help. You know that? God's power is used for our help continually. Continually. In John 17, 3, Father, Christ says this, Father, thou hast given me power over all flesh, that I may give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. His power is used for our salvation. He makes all things work together for our good. Everything you experience today, everything you have experienced since you've been born, I'm talking to believers now, has been for your good. It's for your good. His providence is used for our help. It's used for our help. His angels are used for our help. It says in Hebrews 1 that they are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who are heirs of salvation. The angels, I mean, who can even count that host? And you know they're set for our good? They're set for our good. His grace is used for my help, my good, our help. He said, my grace, he said this to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. You having trouble? Are you weighed down, your heart heavy? And you prayed that the Lord would lift you up, and yet you're still going through it? He said, my grace is sufficient. It'll carry you through it. It'll carry you through it. And then we have here the credentials of Pilgrim's Helper. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. That's his credentials. My help cometh from one who created all things. And what he's saying is this, there's no one above the Creator. No one is above him. And there's nothing that is outside of his power. Nothing is outside of the power of the one who created all things. Isaiah 40, 26, lift up your eyes on high and behold, who hath created these things? And when you're down and out and you and I feel like that everything's against us, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes on high and behold who hath created these things that bringeth out their hosts by, num- by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. That's our God. He's strong in power. There's no one higher than our Creator. And here it gets even better. Our Creator is also our Redeemer. Isaiah 43:1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. I love this. Thou art mine. I created you. I formed you. You're mine. You're mine. He said in Isaiah 44:22, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. I have put away your sins. Now return. I put them away. I didn't put them away. My faith didn't put them away. You know, my faith, listen, faith, which is a gift of God, it's the work of God's Spirit, but it's our faith. God doesn't believe for us. We believe God. But my faith does not make what Jesus Christ did effectual. Who he is makes what he did effectual, not me believing it. I believe it because God in grace has quickened me, saved me by his grace, given me life, and I believe. Dead people don't believe. The dead don't believe, only the living. And God has to give us life in order for us to believe. You see, most have this thing backwards. They have faith as the effecting salvation, but faith is the evidence of it, not the cause of it. Grace is the cause of salvation. The love of God in Christ Jesus is the cause of salvation. Faith is the end result of salvation. It's the result of God doing the work in me and not just for me. That's the grace of God. That's why Jonah said when he was in the belly of the whale, down there in the darkness, and he said, salvation of the Lord, because he knew if he's coming out of there alive, God's going to have to do it. And everyone whom God saves knows that if they're saved, God's going to have to do it. God's going to have to do it. You and I cannot save ourselves. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief, because I'm full of it. Give me faith. I pray for that all the time still. Lord, give me faith. Give me the blessings of life. Faith and repentance. You know what they are? The evidence of life. They're not the cause of it. They are the evidence of it. When a baby is born, what's the evidence of life? It cries. When you cry unto God for mercy, for grace, that's the evidence of life. Spiritual life. Now here's pilgrim safety in verse 3. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. You know, it wasn't flat. It wasn't smooth sailing. You know, some of them walked for weeks, days, maybe even weeks at a time. They walked a long way, and it wasn't flat ground all the way. And there's some places that they had to trek over that if their foot slipped, they're a goner. They're a goner. They could drop hundreds and hundreds of feet. So as Pilgrim goes up Jerusalem, he's going on his journey, his footing is assured by God. It's not assured by my stability. It's assured by his stability. Christ the solid rock. On Christ the solid rock, I stand. Our journey is onward and upward, and we have this promise. This is a promise to all God's children. He, God, here's something he will not do. He will not suffer your foot to be moved. He won't do it. You see, as the foot goes, so goes the body. in the head. Christ, our head, cannot be moved. We are as stable as our head is. The other, here about a week ago, I stepped out on the carport. And when that's wet, it's like ice. That's the hardest I've fallen in a long time. I busted myself. My foot, my right foot, when I stepped out, it just went out from under me. And that iPad, I threw that thing across the carport. I thought, well, that's the end of that. But it's tough. It endured. But I busted my elbow, my shoulder, my knee. I got up. I told me, man, I see why now you don't want to fall when you're old. It's tough to get over. He'll not suffer thy foot to be moved. Your walk and your arrival is sure. Christ sees to it. Our Lord will see to it. And we have that promise. To be moved from Christ? Never. Listen to John chapter 10, verse 27 through 29. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. How secure is that? They can't pluck me out of Christ's hand, to whom I was given. They can't pluck me out of the Father's hand, who chose me and put me in Christ. Chose me in Christ. Brethren, that is eternal security. Eternal security is not that I accept Jesus Christ my personal Savior. Eternal security is the fact that God accepted me in Christ. Isn't that what he says in Ephesians chapter 1? He hath made us accepted in the beloved. He did it. You see, this gospel here gives him all the glory, doesn't it? And it gives us all the hope. I can't have a better hope than that. I can't have it. What we have here is we have a royal battalion about us, going with us on our way to heaven, going with us on our way to glory. We have a royal battalion with us. And then in verse 4, we have pilgrim safety guaranteed. He says, behold, give attention to this. He that keepeth Israel. Now this is interesting. He says in verse 3, he that keepeth thee will not slumber. And then verse 4, he broadens it out. He that keepeth Israel, that's the church. That's the whole church of God. Paul said, we are the circumcision, which worship God in the spirit, have no confidence in the flesh. We are the true Israel of God. We have no confidence in the flesh. What did they say to our Lord? We be Abraham's seed. That's what their confidence was in. Our confidence is not that I'm a seed of Abraham or any family inheritance. My confidence is in Christ, the seed of the woman. That's where my confidence is at. But he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. You see, we are kept individually as if, and only God can do this. Only God can do this. We are kept individually as if we were the only ones on earth. And yet we are kept collectively as the body of Christ. We are his body, the church, Israel. We are Israel, the true Israel of God. We have a cloud of witnesses, it tells us in Hebrews 12:1. We have a cloud of witnesses. In running this race that's set before us, we have a cloud of witnesses that's already run the race. And notice what he says here. And he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. When are we the most vulnerable? When are you the most vulnerable? When you're asleep. When you're asleep. You don't know if somebody walked in the room, you don't know it. Vicky had one of her nightmares the other night. Gave me a heart attack. Somebody's in the room standing there, who is that? Get him out of here. And I mean, I'm coming up out of there like, good night. I said, I know there's got to be people who died in their sleep because of this. These nightmares. But that's when we are the most vulnerable. You come up out of your sleep. I mean, you don't know. I mean, when you're asleep, you don't know. You don't know what's going on at all. But our Lord is our watchman that never sleeps. He's the watchman that never sleeps. He never gets sleepy like we do. One time I was working midnight shift. Oh, it about killed me to work that shift. Because it'd give around 6 o'clock in the morning, I was dropping off, nodding off. They laid me off, and they called me back to drive a fork truck and move things around. And about 6 o'clock in the morning, man, I was about dead. I wasn't just sleeping. I passed out. I drove the truck, fork truck outside, and I passed out. I just sit there like that. And the foreman came out the back door. I found this out later. He came out the back door and he saw me. He went in to get management. He came back out and I was already gone. I woke up and I realized, you know, I woke up and I drove the fork truck back and went back in. He came out with management and looking for me and I was gone. But I passed out. I couldn't stay awake. I mean, I tried. What did the Lord say to the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane in his greatest hour that he needed, you know, when you're going through a real deep, deep valley, it's good to have somebody with you. And they couldn't watch for an hour. He said, couldn't you watch for an hour? Not even an hour, Peter. I thought you weren't going to deny me. You couldn't even stay awake an hour. Our Lord is the watchman that never falls asleep. He watches. When you and I go to sleep tonight, we turn the lights out, we go to sleep, he doesn't. He's watching you. He's watching over you. He's watching you. Our Lord is our watchman that never sleeps. And then in verse 5, we have Pilgrim's Keeper. The Lord is thy keeper. Now, this is a song to sing on your way to worship, isn't it? This is what they say. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. Here's divine protection. This is what we have. In Psalm 91:1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Seeing that the Lord is the keeper of all believers, they cannot be more safe. You can't be more safe. Can't. They were kept in Christ before the world began. They were kept in Christ before they experienced salvation. I was his long before I knew it. I was his before creation. I was his when I was born. I was his when I believed. And that's the evidence I was his. You're kept in Christ before we experience salvation. We're kept by the power of God through faith as we live out our lives on this earth. We are kept for God's eternal glory. We are a kept people. We're kept by the power of God through faith. Through faith. He keeps us believing. And he's a shade. He says here, he's a shade upon thy right hand. A shade is for protection from the blistering sun, and it's for rest. You take a rest under the shade, don't you? You sit under the shade on a hot day and rest. Our Lord is our shade. He's our rest. Jesus Christ is our rest. And then in verse 6, the Lord gives a promise to Pilgrim here. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Many times our Lord spent the day outside and slept under the moonlight, didn't he? Our Lord experienced all this we were talking about. But God's creation is for our good. You know, everything's for our good. When God created the heavens and the earth, he did it for you. Christ, it's all things were created by him and for him. Now, everything is for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's for his glory. He created it. He maintains it. It's for his glory. But everything in creation is for our good. The sun gives us light, gives us warmth. But he says the sun will not smite thee by day. You see, pilgrim's journey may be long. It may be 90 plus years, 100 years. Traveling in the hot sunshine. You see, when he leaves home, when he left home here to make his journey, his ascent up to Jerusalem, there are some hot days, and it can get hot over there. There's some real hot days. And he's saying that the sun's not going to smite you. It's his sun. The trials of life are not going to destroy you. They're not going to destroy you. And sleeping under the moon, listen, I thought of the creeping things of the night. You know, they're sleeping outside. How often did our Lord sleep outside? They're not going to harm you. They're not going to harm you. Remember he says over in one of the Psalms, the pestilence shall not come near you. 10,000 will fall at your right hand, but it won't come near you. Our Lord is our protection. It's his sun. It's his moon. And then verse 7, we have pilgrims, all-sufficient helper here. The Lord shall deliver thee from all evil. All of it. Don't we live in an evil world? Scripture says the whole world lies in wickedness. The only other evil place other than this earth is hell, where the wicked are cast. And there's weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. Unleashed hatred. But he said, the Lord shall preserve thee. He'll keep you. He'll keep thee from all evil. Evil thoughts. I thought about that today. You know, an evil thought unchecked breaks out into an evil action. And the Lord checks our thoughts. Aren't you glad he keeps you from evil thoughts taking over? I'm glad he does. And he shall preserve thy soul, your whole being. You know, when the Lord saves us, he saves the whole man, the whole woman. That's the reason why when this is all over with and we stand on that new earth, we will have a new body. It'll look just like this one, but it'll just be without sin. But he saves the whole man. We are preserved, listen, from all evil in Jesus Christ. Jude 1:1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ. And listen to what it says. And called. Preserved in Christ first, then called. God preserved. He preserved the whole church in Christ. And then through time and in time, he calls them by his grace. Our souls are safe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in Colossians 3:3, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. That's safe. Your life is hid with Christ in God. You're preserved from the evil of sin and the evil of Satan. You're preserved. Satan can't do anything more than he's allowed to. He had to go to God, you know this, to get permission to touch Job. And God told him exactly what he could do and could not do. And that's exactly the way it is with every one of God's children. We can assure ourselves upon the word of God that nothing in heaven, earth, or hell shall ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, which Paul wrote in Romans 8. And then last of all, in verse 8, pilgrim is guaranteed protection throughout life. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. They've got to leave home. They've got to leave their home. Some of their wives went with them. Some of their families went with them. Some of them didn't. Some stayed home while they went. But God assured their protection. We can, you know, we can die a thousand ways if the Lord didn't preserve us, couldn't we? We can die a thousand ways. Yeah, I mean, it's just amazing how easy we can die. But what we have here, we are safe in the activities of this life. Is it arachnophobia? Is that the fear of leaving your home? Well, that's of spiders, isn't it? Oh, what is that? What is it? What is it? Okay, you all said, I ain't going about to try to say that. The fear of leaving home. I knew arachnophobia wasn't it. Although I am afraid of spiders too. But however, we are guaranteed safety throughout the activities of our lives. Why worry? Why fret? The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in. You're going to leave here in a little bit. You're going to go out. It's nighttime out there. The Lord's going to preserve you. Satan would love to get a hold of you. Satan would love to take you out of this world. That'd be one less child of God he has to deal with or be concerned about giving glory to God. But you have God's word on it that your activities going in and out are preserved. So safe. Safe. And then we have this assurance going out and coming in, going from youth to old age. Man, when I was young, I never thought of anything. Of course, you know, unless you experience something, you really can't think of it. You know, it's like Henry said once, you can't come back where you haven't been. You know, when you're young, you're not old. You've never been old. You don't know what those years bring. You don't know the worries they bring and the aches and the pains and the fear that they bring. He said, I will carry you even to your hoar hairs. I will carry you. We can go from youth to old age, and he's promised to keep us however long we live on this earth. His protection is unremitting from this time forth. If you've never believed it, believe it now. From this time forth, even forevermore, throughout eternity. Throughout eternity. I'm going to read this to you and I close. Listen to Isaiah 40, verse 27 through 31. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Does God not see my trouble? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There's no searching of his understanding. I don't understand, but he does. And that's all that matters. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Paul said, when I am weak, then am I strong. Then am I strong, when I'm weak. And when we are weak in ourselves, he increases our strength in him. Lord, make us weak, that we might know your strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Don't trust in them. Don't trust in their strength. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Isn't that a song to sing on our journey, our pilgrimage home? Isn't this something we ought to learn to sing? I'll lift up mine eyes unto the hills, whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Who's your help? Mine's the Lord. And some of you can say, it's the Lord. And I hope Others here, God will bring to say, the Lord is my help and my strength. All right.